Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Milwaukee Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. I am your host, Caleb. First things first, Anchor has absolutely been on some bullshit lately, man. It's two times now this week where I've tried to record. I do record just like this, and this very well maybe won't get uploaded again. So who knows? I might be talking to the wall anyways, but I record, and as soon as I finish recording, it only uploads part of the audio, and I'll record for 15 minutes and 3 minutes of it gets saved, which is obviously not ideal, and there's no real point in uploading 3 minutes of the 15 minutes. So anyways, either way, yesterday we went 0-2. I've said we've been treading water, but we've slowly been drowning lately, but I'm not fucking with that. I want to get back up, and I feel confident that we can do that. And it starts today. So I appreciate you guys being here with me again today. This episode is actually brought to you guys by Crystal Geyser Natural Alpine Spring Water by CG Roxanne, bottled at the source. When you're drinking your water, I don't know about you guys, my tap water, not drinkable. Not drinkable. Tastes really bad. Tastes like there's 4 pennies in every glass of water that I drink. So if you're looking for some water, I highly recommend Crystal Geyser. It tastes like it's from the natural alpine springs of the mountains. I guess that's redundant. But anyways, yesterday I dropped Hawks -6. I loved it. Hawks are vibing. Old coach facing the team that fired him. Tons of turmoil in Indy. Indy came out, they showed up, respect to them. And then I had the Nets off of 3 straight losses. Mavs still missing Kleber and Porzingis. Yes, the Mavs have shown an ability to play up to their opponents at home, but I really do have that much respect for KD and Kyrie. The Nets dropped their 4th straight. So we'll take our 2 L's, looking to bounce back today. Again, I can't lie. It's hard. It's this weird balance for me right now where I put in work. I can't lie. I've put in work this year. Was at a point at 56%, which is where the best professional bettors are at consistently, and have faded off a little bit. And I think, again, part of that right now is it's a lot harder to read these games at the end of the season with just so many guys in and out. And that's not an excuse at all. We got to grind our way through that. But I'm letting you guys know that really on these slates I'm seeing less and less games with value popping up, and so instead of, you know, trying for, we're always going to try to, you know, get back up. We're not here to go chase and get to this goal before the season ends in 2 weeks. We are here to play what we like, and so the volume might be down a little bit as we continue through these last couple weeks, but that's the reason why we're just trying to be smart. And again, it's really hard. NBA as a whole is pretty damn tough to bet, but I think it's that much tougher towards the end of the season, especially in a short and condensed season like this where guys are out left and right. But with that being said, that's not going to stop us from trying to attack this slate. Happy Friday, motherfuckers, and let's get it. All right, let's get it. First game of the day, New Orleans Pelicans heading into Philly. Bruh, and this is just what I mean. Like, New Orleans is so damn inconsistent. They are battling for their lives, but they're going to be without Stevie Adams. They're going to be without Brandon Ingram. They're probably going to be without Nikhil Alexander Walker. Meanwhile, on the other end, Philly is coming in with the full strength squad, trying to make sure that they finish with the first seed. Because you remember, if they finish with the first seed, they are going to avoid both Brooklyn and Milwaukee in the second round, which means they'll get either Atlanta and New York, which by most people's standards, by most people's estimations, are and by mine, Even though I'm high on both those teams are definitely worse than both the Milwaukee Bucks and Brooklyn Nets. So that's a big, big thing for them. They've worked really hard all year long to really be in that first seed. These games are going to matter to them down the stretch. So without Steven Adams, you're going to have Guillermo Hernan Gomez, also known as Billy Hernan Gomez, or Jackson Hayes on Joel Embiid, and that's good night. And if you bring a double, then you're going to have Seth Curry, Danny Green, Furkan, and all the other shooters that the Sixers do have wide open for threes. It's a team that really does struggle on the defensive end of the basketball. Weirdly enough, Stan's a defensive guy. They brought in defensive personnel, but it hasn't worked out. They haven't really played together defensively the way they did for like three games at the start of the season, and then it was like, all right, never mind. So for me, I think this line is right. The Pelicans are such a hard team to power rate, because it's like one night and a lot of teams look like this, but I think the Pelicans take it to the fucking extreme, where some nights they look really good, like, oh, this is a 4-seed level team, and other nights they look like a bottom feeder. And now you don't have Brandon Ingram and Steven Adams, and they still do it. They'll have nights where they're injured back against the wall and they come out and play great. So, regardless, based off of the talent that they have and the way that they're playing in the aggregate the last couple of weeks, this line is fair. Sixers are sizably better, and they're at home with something to play for. So I'm completely off this game. Next game, the Celtics and the Bulls. Must win game for Chicago. And the Celtics are going to be without Jaylen Brown. And Bob Williams is questionable as well. Everyone is good to go for the Bulls. Zach LaVine made his return just yesterday in the game against the Charlotte Hornets. Basically a must-win game that they did come out and control for the majority of the game. No, really the whole game. Vooch dropped 29, 14, and 3. Zach LaVine in his return played 27 minutes. It wasn't his usual self, but 13 points on 5-11 from the field, 3-of-8 from three. I'd assume, the more and more he gets playing time, the more and more his rhythm will come back. But as a result, it's still very hard to rate this Bulls team, because, the last 2 weeks we've had a look at who they are without Zach LaVine. And even now that Zach LaVine's back, one, you don't really know exactly where he's at. And two, we don't really have that much data of Zach LaVine and Vooch. In fact, the Bulls have actually been worse with both of them together than one of them playing and the other not. So it's tough. It's really tough to get a great read on this. I do lean the Bulls here, though. It's a must-win game for them. And we've seen this Celtics team really a million times this year lay duds. They go at home against Portland, lost. At home against Oklahoma City, lost. In Charlotte, got blown out by 20, right? And they do have plenty of wins. They had a really good month of April. It's kind of like the Miami Heat, where the talent's there. And so once they start winning, you're like, oh, they're back. You assume they're back. And right as you say they're back, they lay a fucking dud. So for me, I'm not quite sure where I stand on this team. And I think this, again, just goes back to like end of season. So many guys in and out, a lot of teams that we don't have a lot of data on, and this is kind of one of them. I like the Bulls here today, getting 4 at home. Again, must win for the Bulls right now. They are sitting in the 11th spot, 3.5 games of the Wizards. So they basically got to win the rest of the way and still get some help from the Wizards the rest of the way as well. And the Celtics are they're in a battle. That's the thing, though. The Celtics are in a battle, too. They're six, and they're only in six because they own the tiebreaker over Miami, who's seventh. So, and the difference between six and seven is huge, because seven, you're headed to the play-in. And if you lose two games, you're out of the playoffs, just like that. Whereas six, you're chilling, and you're just facing the three seed no matter what. So they will be motivated as well here today. Jaylen Brown being out hurts, but we've seen them win games without Jaylen Brown again. If I have to, I'll take the Bulls getting the extra 4 points here today, but I don't feel great about it. I really don't. Next game, the Rockets and the Bucks. Shit show, man. Shit show. I like the Bucks here today. I do. They won by one at home against Washington, and everyone should be good to go for them today. But listen to this injury report for the Rockets, and this is just another reason why we'll not spend any more time talking about him. Jayshon Tate, questionable. Kevin Porter Jr., out. Daniel House, doubtful. DJ Augustine, questionable. Avery Bradley, out. Kelly Olynyk, questionable. Christian Wood, questionable. That's really every single player on that team that plays significant minutes. Anyone not named KJ Martin and Armani Books is questionable or out. So I don't know how the fuck, like, again, like, these are NBA players. They'll battle. You know, 16 is, you know, one of those spreads where, like, the Bucks are honestly 16 points better than this team with all these guys out and questionable. But it's 16 and a half. And the Bucks are kind of chilling right now. So they're locked. Really, the Bucks are locked into the three seed. Unless something crazy happens. Actually, that was just a bold-faced lie. They are right there. As potentially the two seed, with Brooklyn fading out, losing their last two games. So there is, and that's big because those two teams probably match up in the second round if they both take care of business. And having home court in that series is definitely big. So Bucks are going to want to get the job done here today. I guess I'd lean Bucks despite the spread being 16 and a half. That's a huge, huge number. But a number that I think is warranted given the situation of these two teams. But I doubt you'll find my ass on a 16 and a half point spread. Next game, Orlando Magic and the Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte took a tough L at home to the Chicago Bulls yesterday. And again, usually when you take a tough L like that, you respond the next day. And this is a good team to try and get a response against. I will read the injury report again as we go through this shit. Cody Martin is out. Devontae Graham is out. Miles Bridges got COVID and is out. And they're still missing Gordon Hayward. On the other side, Wendell Carter's out, James Ennis is out, Terrence Ross is out, Otto Porter is out. And I would assume, honestly, that all those guys remain out for the rest of the year as the Magic look to really make their pick as high as possible. That being said, though, this Magic team has fought. This Magic team has fought, and they've kind of gone through this weird stretch, right? They sell off everyone at the deadline. All right, everyone's out. Peace. And then you're looking at them like, okay, this is potentially the worst team in the league now. And they battle and they grind, they go into LA and beat the Clippers. Like, who saw that coming? They had some games where they shouldn't have really been in it. And then they were, and then reality hit and they were terrible. They were getting blown out by 20 every single game. And then they're back on this peak type of deal where they beat Memphis at home. Like, what? They were down 15 and beat Memphis at home. They beat Detroit in Detroit, which is, I mean, ask the Grizzlies, not as easy as you would think. And then they go lose by 36 to the Celtics. So it's again, with a team like the Magic, you're either going to get them hanging in there right there to the buzzer, or they're going to get waxed by 30. And you don't really know which one it is. And so when you have a team playing the Magic, I think it's important to look more so, instead of the Magic, you look at the other team and where the motivation level stands, where the talent level stands. And with the Hornets, the motivation level should be high. They are right now currently in the eighth seed, probably not going to be able to get to seven, but there's a chance that they fall to nine. And again, if you're not familiar with the play-in, seven plays eight, nine plays 10. The winner of seven and eight is the seven seed. The loser of that game goes and plays the winner of 9 and 10 for the eighth seed. So with Charlotte falling, if they were to fall to the ninth seed to Indiana and let Indiana get into eight, that just really increases their chance of not being in the playoffs. Cause now you got to go win, win two games to get in, as opposed to, just needing to win one game of two. So they'll be fired up and ready to go. And it, again, was not a good performance yesterday. They are missing guys. And with that being said, I think seven's fair. I think it's right in the ballpark of, okay, Hornets win this by a decent amount the majority of the time, but not to the point where I can hit it. It's about a 50-50 thing to me in terms of covering the seven. And so again, might seem like a cop-out, but I really think the books have their asses covered with this line, where it's like, all right, if you want to bet on the Hornets, they're really gonna have to beat the Magic. And I could see a pathway to the Magic hanging in there with the Hornets here today. So I'm off this one. Next game, Minnesota Timberwolves heading into Miami. This is interesting. And I think I get excited when I'm watching these games that I know no one's watching, And I realize that a team is actually playing better than the public perception is of that team. And I think that's been the case of the T-Wolves for quite some time. Really, since Chris Finch took over, they've been much, much better. They've been almost close to 500 since he took over. Ant is blossoming. Cat's playing really well. D'Lo is still D'Lo, but he's a bucket. And they have a lot of role players like Naz Reid, Juancho Hernan Gomez, Jordan McLaughlin, Jared Vanderbilt, who are pitching in and playing impactful minutes for this team. That being said, there's a couple issues. One, they struggle to close games. And that's really frustrating as a bettor when you have them really looking good for the majority of the game. And then they just can't close. I had them +4 against New Orleans at home. They were up 10 with 5 minutes left and lost by 4 in overtime. In Memphis, they were winning in the fourth quarter and go in and lose by 4 and don't cover I believe the spread closed at 3.5. So it's a frustrating thing, but it's a thing you can't overlook when you need teams to close these games, especially when you're facing teams like the Pelicans, Grizzlies, and now today the Heat, where, you know, these games nothing's really on the line for the Timberwolves right now. There's a lot on the line for the Miami Heat, right? And I just talked about it. They're right now the 7th seed, but they're really only the 7th seed. They have the same record as the 6th seed, the Celtics. They just don't have the tiebreaker. So they easily, if they finish strong, they can be the 6th seed and completely avoid the play-in. And I think if you ask me, you know, if you're going down the line 6 to 7 to 8 to 9 to 10, I think the biggest difference in terms of, you know, what you want is the difference from 7 to 6, because you completely avoid the play-in tournament, which is what the Heat will be looking to do. That being said, I think 6.5 provides slight value on the Timberwolves here. I don't think the Miami Heat, again, they're like the Celtics in that, you know, everyone likes them. They were really good last year. And so whenever they go on a stretch where they look good, people just assume they're back and that all the issues that they've had are gone. And that's just not the case with this team. There are still issues that I think will continue to exist throughout the year. That's why I think on the pure basketball sense, the T-Wolves have some slight value here. But again, you got to factor in that there is a little bit of extra motivation for a couple reasons for the Heat. One, they got blown out at home by the Dallas Mavericks. That's not a good look, right? You don't like that, so you're fired up. Two, you've had now Wednesday and Thursday, you've had 2 days off to prep. Three, like I said, 7th seed with a 6th seed. And four, something that goes overlooked sometimes, they played about 3 weeks ago in Minnesota and lost. And when you lose to a team, you generally, it's not a, you know, end all be all rule, but generally when you lose to a team within the recent time frame, you're a little bit more fired up to play that team. You want to prove to them, okay, that was kind of a fluke. Let me show you what's up. And so I could easily see that happening today. Again, the Timberwolves are playing a lot better than their record suggests. They're just in general, I think a lot people look at them bottom feeder. They're not in the same category as the Rockets right now. They're not in the same category as the Thunder right now. They are legitimately playing like you look at it. They were very close to beating the Grizzlies, who are a playing team. They were they were up 10 against the Pelicans, who are fighting for their lives in the play-in scenario. So this is not a bottom feeder team, and I think, yes, the line doesn't necessarily imply that they're a bottom feeder team, but 6.5 is definitely a decent amount of distance. And I really could see this Timberwolves team fighting. But that's the thing. It could be tied going into the fourth. And if the T-Wolves keep up their bullshit ways, there's a good chance that they blow that and fall apart down the stretch the way I've seen. Again, I've had the Timberwolves 3 times this year not win as a 7-point underdog, 4-point underdog, and 6-point underdog in OT because they blew it and they were winning down the stretch and blew it. And I don't know if I want to put myself through that again today. I could very easily see that happen. I'm probably a little bit more in tune with that because of what's happened. But again, I do think pure basketball wise, I think I make this closer to 5 as opposed to 6.5. And then on top of that, you're also getting, I believe Jimmy's still not like for sure suiting up here today. Let me make sure what we're getting with him. Yeah, Jimmy's questionable, and so is Tyler Herro. I would guess Jimmy suits up, honestly. He's a dog. It's an illness. He's had 3 days now. I'd assume he suits up, but who knows? I hope that all makes sense. I think as of now, I'm laying off, but I do lean the Timberwolves. But for all the reasons that I just named, I might have to stay away. All right, next game, Cleveland Cavaliers and Dallas Mavericks. Super fun one. Not. Cleveland just falling apart. I think it's more so it's Garland going down. I mean, he's huge for them. Colin Sexton is a bucket, but he can't do it all. And really now teams really understand what's going on with him. So it's easier. It's like they'll live with him taking these tough shots and he'll make some of them, but it's not going to be enough to carry you through a game. And you go, look, they are coming off a 36 point L. The game before that, they lost by 16. The game before that, they lost by 17. The game before that, they lost by 29. Game before that, they lost by 5 at home to the Magic. Game before that, they lost by 16. Game before that, they lost by 9. So you're getting the worst version of the Cavs right now. And I'm on record saying, okay, they'll eventually turn it around because they have. It's happened. This has been a story with the Cavs this year where they had a 10-game losing streak where they were not competitive in literally any of those games. And then they eventually turned it around. So I'm not ready to – I don't know. It's tough to bite. It is tough to bite here. Mavs are on a back-to-back. They played Brooklyn last night, got in late to Cleveland. Oh, wait, no, it's in Dallas. It's in Dallas. I like Dallas, man. I do. But I know that the Cavs – I don't know. There's just always a sneaky chance that the Cavs turn it around. And I think those are some of the more frustrating losses. When you bet against a team that's been so damn bad, and I've been better at, realizing and picking out those spots to stay away from. But, like, Cleveland has legitimately not shown any reason for them to turn it around lately. But I could see it. I could see it randomly. It just takes one game where things click and, all right, we're in this game. You know, it's a rhythm thing that you can see pretty early on. So we'll see. I do lean the Mavs here for sure, but it's, again, I don't know if it's because I lost two straight bets that I'm overthinking, but I like the Mavs here, but I don't know if I can pull trigger. I really don't. All right, let's keep moving. New York Knicks heading into Phoenix. New York, one of the hottest teams in the NBA, had a great April and started off their May looking pretty hot as well. Regardless, they lost their last game. They got blown out. The final score was only 16, but if you look, that Denver really rocked them for the majority of the game, and they made a later push in the fourth to make it look in the second half really to make it not look as bad. But Denver rocked them. They outscored them 12-34 in the first quarter, and really New York never recovered. I'm never worried about the Knicks. I think they have replaced the Spurs of old as just being the most, like, consistent team time in and time out. So I had expected a bounce-back performance from them here today. That being said, the Suns are just really damn good, and the Suns are coming off a loss themselves in which they got blown out by Atlanta. So if the Suns had won their last game and, the Knicks are coming off that tough loss, all right, I'm looking at 6.5 here. But just because the Suns – I mean, the Suns – that might have been their worst loss of the season. I can't remember a time they've got blown out by 30. And if they did, it was very early on in the season. So they'll be locked in, ready to go. You can look at it, too. They played a couple weeks ago, and the Suns won a dogfight. I think the Knicks provide the most value here, but I've been burned by betting against teams that got blown out a few too many times. And I could see that happening here today with a fired-up Suns team who, again, you might think they don't have any motivation, but there is a difference between the 1 and 2 seed for sure, in home court advantage, right? That 1 seed guarantees you home court advantage no matter who you play, and they're 1 game back of the Utah Jazz, who are without Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell still, and can very much still fall to the second seed. So Phoenix will be motivated here, and it's to the point where I'm a little scared to hit the Knicks. I know the Knicks are going to come with good effort. I know they are, but it's one of those things where the Suns are a better team. So if the Suns come and really set the tone, I could see the Knicks losing a close one in which the final score just trickles out to 7 or 8. I feel like that's been a common theme with a lot of these, but so be it, bro. Next game, Denver Nuggets and the Utah Jazz. I like Denver getting the points here today. Utah's still without... Okay, we got to get the Conley news, because I thought Conley was going to be out today, but I'm not seeing it on the injury report. Obviously, for the Nuggets, Jamal Murray is still out. PJ Dozier is actually out too, which does hurt. He's a quality wing defender for them on a team that honestly, outside of Aaron Gordon, really lacks wing defenders. But Michael Porter Jr. has been amazing. Nikola Jokic has been the best player in the league this year. And I if I remember correctly, Denver usually performs pretty well in Utah. So I like Denver getting the points. Again, that was more so based off of Mike Conley being out. It appears like he'll play. Mike Conley plays, I think this line you can get towards being fair, although I'd still lean it being closer to 3, maybe 3.5. But I don't know if it's enough edge for me to play at this point in the season. Denver playing really well. We'll recap their last couple games. With Utah, it's like, again, I've seen their peak, and their peak is really, really good, but they haven't been able to consistently get to that peak. And I think a lot of that has to do just with, no Donovan Mitchell. But recent games, boom, blow out the Spurs twice, beat the Raptors. They're on a 3-game winning streak after losing 3 of 4. So it seems like they're getting back into that rhythm. I think Conley, now that I'm looking at it, will be suiting up here today. And again, like I talked about, they want that one seed. So the motivation is there. Really, Denver will be motivated as well. Even though they are most likely going to be the 4 seed, they still could get up to that 3 seed. In which case, but again, that 3 seed brings them to the Lakers. But it might bring them the Blazers too. There's a lot of shit that can still be moving. So really all you can do is just try to handle your business and go from there. I think slight value on the Nuggets here today, but not enough. All right, Spurs heading into Sacramento. Sacramento's had a really, you talk about the NBA being unpredictable. I think Sacramento's been a great example of that, where De'Aaron, they're fighting. It's clear. Luke Walton's playing these guys like 38 minutes a night. I really believe he's fighting for his job. And then De'Aaron goes down, and it's like, in my mind and a lot of people's minds, all right, well, there goes the season. I think in a lot of Kings fans' minds, it was like, fine, we'll go get a lottery pick. This will help our pick be a little bit better before the season ends. And then what do they go ahead and do? They go start playing some of their best basketball. They lose to the Warriors in a very close one. They beat Dallas at home. They go and get fucking waxed out the building by 49 against the Jazz. But then they respond with a win in LA. They respond with a win in Dallas. They go beat the Thunder, and then they go beat the Pacers on the road, and suddenly it's like, oh shit, now they're back in the playing scenario. This is all without De'Aaron Fox, and a lot of that was without Tyrese Halliburton. So for me, I still think this Kings team comes down to earth, and it's clear the books think that too. This is kind of a classic buy low, sell high spot where you got the Spurs reeling, right? They've lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row. Heading into Sacks. Sacks won 4 in a row, and the Spurs are 4.5-point favorites. This is a classic buy low, sell high spot where I think you just look purely at the last couple games. You're like, all right, go Kings. But the Spurs are a better team. They've just struggled recently, and they've played. You look at their losses. Miami on the road, that's tough. Boston on the road, that's tough. Philly at home, that's tough, and they lost on a buzzer beater. And then both games in Utah. So you can't come in and look at this as, you can't look at that and say they're necessarily playing bad basketball. Sometimes you just run into better teams, and the schedule will give you some easy ones, and it'll give you some tough ones too. And they've just gone through a tough one. I like them to get the job done here today, but 4.5 is, it's cheeky. It really is cheeky. And the books are like, I was hoping we could get like 2.5 up to a pick 'em. Nope. They leave it at 4, which might just be out of reach. And you look right now, they're basically playing their starters 85% of the game. Marvin Bagley, 34 minutes. Delon Wright, 39 minutes. Buddy Hield, 40 minutes. Rashawn Holmes, 31 minutes. Mo Harkless, 35 minutes. Then Terrence Davis played 19, and Damian Jones played 16, and no one else played more than 8 minutes. So it's a shorthanded team that's playing for their life right now, and that can be dangerous. But the Spurs are very much playing for their life right now as well. They are the let me make sure. They are the 10th seed right now, but they're only 1.5 up on the Pelicans. And the Kings are suddenly back in the mix. They're 2.5 back of the Spurs with a chance to make it 1.5 today. So expect the Kings to be fired up, but the Spurs are the better team. And at 4, it's just kind of out of reach. Hopefully it rolls back into maybe 3.5, 4. But who knows? Who knows? All right. Next game, last game, we got the Lakers heading into Portland, and this is a really interesting game because we have Portland right now sitting at 7 in the play-in, and we talked about it. Probably the biggest difference in, you know, happiness for these teams is the difference between 7 and 6. And right now, the Lakers are only 6 because they hold the tiebreaker over the Blazers. Blazers win today, and they move into 6 out of the play-in scenario, and they're fully healthy now. They've missed Dame for some time. He's back. They missed Norman Powell. He's back. Nurk has worked his way back. And the Lakers are still without LeBron James, which clearly it affects them, and got blown out by their crosstown rivals in the Clippers last night. That being said, 8.5? That seems high. That really does seem high. I know the Lakers haven't played great basketball. I understand that. But like, why? Like, I don't understand. Like, they just beat the Nuggets at home not too long ago. You know that AD is working his way back and getting into more and more of a rhythm. So I don't really understand why it's 8.5. I think this is probably my strongest lean. My line predictor tool is even saying that there's a 76% probability it gets to 9. So I'm going to wait. Maybe they're scared AD is going to sit out. But like, if AD is fully in, this is like a... I mean, it's not a must-win game for the Lakers. They're going to be in the playoffs, whether it's in the play-in or not. And even if they lose this, they could still get back to the sixth seed. But it's an important game. We're getting down to crunch time, and I know the Lakers haven't played well lately. They really do struggle to create offense. I think they would have hoped that AD would be in a better offensive rhythm than he is right now, but he's not. And no Schroeder, so I get it. But I think this is just an overreaction to last night's beatdown, which to me is completely understandable with the crosstown rival, and the Clippers were fully healthy and are just a better team when fully healthy. So I still have questions about this Blazers team as like being elite. They're a good team for sure. They're definitely deserving of being a playoff team. I don't know that they're deserving of getting 8.5. I know they're at home. I know they've had some time to rest up, and it's a back-to-back for the Lakers. But I think it's a little bit inflated because of the back-to-back, as well as the Lakers just getting rolled yesterday. That about wraps it up. I pray to the Lord that this is able to all upload. I know I'm a little wishy-washy on a lot of these things, but again, like I mentioned at the start, guys, a lot of bullshit going on right now, and it's important that everything you do play, you know exactly, you know, who's playing, what's going on, and I can't say that that's the case for a lot of these games, but... I appreciate you all tuning in. Stay blessed up. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk soon. Peace.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.